Welcome to the Journeys in Business podcast. I'm Jess, owner of Jess Creatives. This podcast is here to inspire and empower you as I talk with other entrepreneurs about their journey in business. Let's get into the show. Hey, Jessica, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited, Jessica.
Yeah, I know. I mean, Jessica is a pretty great name.
Yeah. When you were growing up, did you have like everybody in your class named Jessica?
No, actually, I was the only Jessica. And when I was in the second grade, I had a friend who told me that Jessica was an ugly name. Yeah.
She's not a friend.
And her name was Chelsea. And I'm like, everyone's named Chelsea. Like, I said something about my name being so original because I didn't know another Jessica. And she was like, no, it's an ugly name.
She was not your friend.
Needless to say, we were not friends. But yeah,
little that segue. Horrible. I grew up with like a million Jessicas in my class every year. And I'm like, Mom, your name is Lourdes. Why did you name me Jessica? And she was like, and my sister is Catalina. And she's like, well, you know, we actually didn't know your name when you were born. We picked it at the hospital. Like, but Jessica? She's like, well, it was between Jessica and Jennifer. Like,
Do you ever get called Jennifer?
All the time.
Me too. Yes. My high school basketball coach, he was really old, and he used to be like, Jennifer, run. And I'd be like, everyone would be like, who's he talking to? And finally they realized it was me.
My grandmother even does that. And no one in our family is named Jennifer.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so to start us off, why don't you tell us about yourself and your business?
Oh, hi, I'm Jessica also. I'm Jessica Razzle. And I have spent the last 10 years of my life as a motivational speaker. And in the last 2 years, I transitioned into this awesome online space that we're in to help other female business owners really be able to take ownership of their own stories, take these things that we sometimes consider to be liabilities and use them as assets. And now we're really transitioning more into helping business owners take the stage and start speaking in their business. So that's the part that makes me all giddy.
That's what we're really excited about.
Really excited about that part.
So what is your favorite part about what you do?
For me, I like growing up, even though there were a million Jessicas of us, I didn't have a ton of like girlfriends, right? Mm-hmm. And I probably hung out with the guys more, and I was an only child. And I love the community aspect of the work that we do. And especially like within our team, when you're dealing with people's stories, it can deal with a lot of like personal digging, mm-hmm. and a lot of fears and things that get in the way. And when you're working through that kind of stuff together in a group, you just become such a close-knit community, and there has to be such a level of trust and sisterhood. And that is probably my favorite part of all the work that we do in this community, because I never had that, and I never knew it was something I even wanted, mm-hmm. until I found it. And I'm like, this is what's been missing. Like, how was I ever doing this alone for so long? Why was I doing this alone for so long? And even though entrepreneurship is hard, it doesn't have to be lonely.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. And that's what I resonate with that, because I too didn't have like a ton of close girlfriends. And even though like entrepreneurship can be really lonely because we just sit at home all the time, it's like the friends that we make online, like from, you know, we just talk on Facebook or Slack all day. And it's like, you don't realize how strong those bonds are. Like twice I've flown across the country to stay with friends that I've never met. It's not just like, oh, like I'm happen to be in your town and I know you, so like, let's get coffee. But it's like, I'm going to stay at your house for 3 days. And I don't even know if we like each other and like in real life, you know, like, cause you hope that the online friendship translates to real life. And it's crazy. It's like, I mean, we talk all the time. So of course we know a lot about each other, but it's surreal to like meet people in real life and be like, you're real and you're my friend. And so like those online communities are a huge like also really favorite thing of mine.
I love it. I got to meet you.
I know.
Month. I got to meet you in Atlanta, and exactly that. Like Raina and I, like we don't know. Well, we've met in person, but yeah. a few times. But you know, we don't know each other from anything other than this online space. And to like, hey, let's go book a trip and write a book. Mm-hmm. And yeah. it's incredible that I think I've actually in this last year have spent more time face to face with my online friends than mm-hmm. I have with like. My in-person friend. That's a little embarrassing, but no, it's true.
No, I totally get that. I totally get that. So what is your big why? What drives you in your business?
So my, I mean, I work with women on story and I've been mm-hmm. speaking for a long time. So I have a pretty intense story and it is the thing that fuels me. And when I was a freshman in college, I had like all the hopes and dreams for my future. I wanted to tackle the world and I was a scholarship student. I was going for business. I didn't know what I was going to do, but no, just kidding. Business was the thing you did, you know, business is the thing you do. And I had known my best friend since I was 5 years old. And we did, both of us were going to two different schools, but right by each other, business, business, business. And I threw it all away. It was a Friday night and we went out and we ended up drinking and I drove us home and I crashed the car. Laura was killed on impact and I nearly lost my life. And it was like in an instant, the girl who was just stressed out about writing an exam, I mean, writing a paper and studying for exams was now thinking, one, how am I supposed to go on? Two, how am I going to fix this? And three, facing 10 and a half to 15 years in prison, all of those dreams that I had went out the window and basically the life that I knew was over. You know, the life that I had known was now gone and I didn't know what to do. And growing up, I had always been told like, if you make a mistake, you fix it and you don't do it again. And there was, I was never going to do this again. That was clear, mm-hmm. but I didn't know how to fix it. Like there was nothing I could do to fix this. I couldn't change this. So I decided the only thing I could do, the thing that I felt like I had to do was prevent somebody else from repeating my mistake. So I went out there and started speaking everywhere. I spoke to over 15,000 young adults before I was sentenced to prison. And I didn't know why. There was no rhyme or reason to this. I just felt like if I could just show them the choices that I had made and not tell them what to do, but say, hey, this is what I did, completely transparent, so that they could make their own decisions, that maybe another life wouldn't be lost, that maybe I could keep Laura's memory alive, that her life wouldn't be lost in vain and she wouldn't become another underage drinking statistic. So for me, the biggest push in my business is knowing that she can't do this. You know, she can't get out there and start a business. She can never graduate college. She can never start a family. And because of that, like, I'm going to do it for her. Yeah. And there's a huge push for me too, knowing like, I can't just go out and get a traditional job. You know, I'm the girl who dropped out of college to go to prison. I'm the girl who's a convicted felon. And I could just go on and on about all the things that are bad, but that doesn't look good for a traditional job. You know, I'm not like right. my fiance who graduated from the Air Force Academy and has a master's degree, you know, no, I'm the felon yeah. and I have to make this work for me. So there's a huge push for me in a practical sense, but very much more than anything in a personal sense.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. And that's really, it's kind of taking a bad situation and turning it into something really good and like not in like this exact same way, but after losing my mom, that really shifted some things in my life and my business. And like it's coming up on 2 years and it's like she was a teacher her entire career. And when I was like seven until like I was in high school, I was like, I want to be a teacher. And then I realized, no, I don't. but it's like, you know, growing up wanting to be a teacher and like just seeing her, it's somehow that moved into my life. And like, that's a big part of my brand and like wanting to teach people and help people. And it's just a cool way for me to like kind of honor her. And just kind of for me, it's like I keep doing this well, because I love it, but also in a way, like, I remember right after we lost her, a lot of people were like, your mom would be so proud of you, like, your mom would want you to be happy, and some, I think it's cool sometimes when people's whys for their business come from a personal standpoint. I mean, I think a lot of them do, but some of them are just like, they're not always happy. They're not always happy reasons for our whys, but I think it's really cool that you do that for Laura and how many people you're impacting, not just like teenagers, but also like business owners like me, like how many thousands and thousands of people that you've impacted. And that's really amazing.
Thank you. I love that story, and I have hardcore goosebumps right now. but I think it's, you know, these things that we go through, these struggles that we face, and the way that you have almost to say, I'm so cliche, but the way you've rewritten that, and that, you know, it's that you're kind of doing an honor for her. I feel like we all have those moments. We all have these difficult things. It's just, are we willing to kind of give them a name?
Yeah.
And instead of kind of pushing them away and acting like this didn't happen or we're fine, rather saying, no, this is hard. I'm still dealing with this, but I'm going to honor that in this
moment.
And
I also think
all the difference.
And I also think it's, which I know you would agree with this, but I think as entrepreneurs, we try and hide the bad parts, the scary parts, the failures, the mess ups, like personally or professionally, mm-hmm. and sharing our story, like you tell everyone to, like helps us connect with others. And like, I think I've seen a lot more people starting to open up, and maybe it's because of you. And like, I've started seeing more people like open up, like, yeah, like this, I messed up doing this, or like, this launch didn't work, or whatever kind of mess up they have. And it's kind of refreshing because we're not all like the Instagram picture perfect people.
And we have definitely made me so proud. I mean, I'm not taking credit for it.
No, but like
I'm so proud though to see the way like our industry is shifting.
Yes.
And it's less glitter and confetti and gold foil, and it's more about, hey, this didn't work, but it didn't stop me. I'm still going. Mm-hmm. And I love it. I love it.
Yes. Like, can we all just keep doing that more and more, please? Take the pressure off of ourselves.
I'm not going anywhere, so.
Yeah, it's just going to keep happening. So if you could go back to when you first started your business and tell yourself something, what would you tell yourself?
I wish that when I had started my business, it's so funny because, okay, so there's like two different aspects of the business. There's like the speaking side and there's the online coaching side. And when I first started speaking, it wasn't for business, you know, it was purely survival standpoint. And so when I went into that, there was no planning. There was no thought. It was, I'm going to do this. I started taking action and I adjusted along the way. Mm-hmm. I improved as I worked through it, you know, and I just started putting it out there. Now, when it came to the business side, I was so paralyzed by making sure everything was perfect, you know, and not wanting to put, I was constantly planning, right? And not executing.
Yeah.
And I wish that somebody would have just told me, like, would have kicked me in the butt and been like, just hit send, hit publish, like put it out there and fix it later.
Yeah.
And rather than spending so much time trying to make sure everything looked right and like, I don't know, somehow prove myself, rather than just saying, hey, I'm here, I'm going to do this work, and it might not be perfect right now, but I'll fix it. It's going to get better, and I'm just going to keep growing.
Yeah.
Rather than in the beginning, I spent so much time like, is this enough? Am I enough? Is this going to be okay? Are they going to like this? And it's crazy.
Yeah. That's been a reoccurring theme between all these interviews is like, don't wait for perfect. Just launch it. Just get it out there. Like sometimes when I see in Facebook groups, like how many blog posts should I have when I launch? And I'm like, no one cares. Just launch it. Like you don't even have to have a blog up when you, unless the whole thing is a blog, but like, if it's your business, but like, just, I mean, put up a welcome post. Welcome. Expect more blogs soon.
They're going to come.
Like come back soon. But yeah, I think it's, I feel like I didn't actually really launch my business because I kind of just started freelancing and then had to make a website for senior portfolio and like just kind of kept adapting and like growing my website. So I didn't go through that like, oh, I'm like launching, but when I've done like launches for courses or other things, I'm always like, I'm like, am I going to do, is this good? And then I just like, whatever, just it's going up. If someone buys it, great. And if not, well, then I will try again later.
Exactly. And I wish I hadn't done more of that in the beginning.
Yeah.
I wasted so much time, like just trying to meet other people's expectations, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So is there anything that you wish you had done differently over the last 2 years?
Yep.
Don't we all?
Yeah. I wish that I had asked for help sooner. Like right now we have an awesome team. We're a little family and I couldn't do anything that I do today without them. And I don't know why I spent so much time like running myself into the ground and trying to do all the things and having zero boundaries is probably mm-hmm. the worst part. Last night was a big wake up call for me because I have a very limited schedule as far as taking client calls and work because I have a small human. I have a small human and my nanny just started nursing school, so we have a limited availability right now. Mm-hmm. But I love her and I'm not changing that, so I'm working around it. But in the beginning I kind of would just take calls whenever it was good for anybody, if that meant in the evening, whatever. Like my schedule was just an open book. I had no boundaries. I didn't set a schedule for myself. Mm-hmm. And last night I had to do an evening call just because I had been sick the week before and I had to do like a makeup and fit it in. And it was such a wake up call to me and how much I dislike blending work and family time like that in the evening.
Yes.
And in the beginning, I think about how much time I spent doing that and kind of just being a slave to my business.
Yeah.
And I wish that I had spent more time like hiring things out and bringing on team members. And maybe that meant I wasn't going to make money in the beginning, but it meant that I was supporting somebody else's business.
Yeah.
It meant that I was going to see growth faster. It meant that I wasn't going to be stressed out and not sleeping and irritable and then all of the things. Mm-hmm. That has been the biggest shift for me, is really just saying, hey, I need help.
Yeah.
I can't do this alone and I don't have to do this alone.
Yeah. Do you have any recommendations for people who want to start hiring out?
Big time. the biggest, I can say, I don't hear it very often. So like, I try to like scream this from the mountaintops whenever I can. The most helpful thing for me is, because I've done some hiring that hasn't worked out, mm-hmm. is hiring somebody that would be my client. Because I have found that whether it's somebody who was already an existing client or somebody who's just been like on my mailing list, but somebody who you don't have to convince to buy into your business, like somebody who already believes in you and like understands your messaging, the way you talk, somebody who shows up for your live streams, you know, somebody who, that's the person you want on your team because they're already invested in this. So like Abby Herman helps me with copywriting stuff because she was in my academy. Like she knows exactly what I'm talking about because she's been through the course with me. Mm-hmm. My business manager used to show up for like every Periscope when that was a thing. Like I knew her instantly because like I've seen you show up there, like hiring people who were my clients or would have been my clients, like people who from my audience, has changed the whole dynamic because there's no gap now between me and my client or me and the audience because they bridge that, they're there.
Yeah.
So that's like the biggest tip.
That is super smart.
And I've never like, I did not come up with this. It was not something smart. It just happened. Yeah. And I realized it after the fact. I was like,
that's why it works so well. That's, like, I have not heard that. That is super smart. Like, because I'm hopefully going to add someone to my team in the next year or so. And now that's like, oh, now I need to think about that.
So I would say, like, whatever it is you need, whether you need like, an assistant or you need, you know, some marketing help, whatever it is that you're looking for, I would look within your own circle, you know, within your own Facebook group, the people who know the activities you're already doing, the language you use, people you already have a relationship with, and then look for the person. Yeah. And two, don't wait till you like are drowning to hire, because then you hire out of desperation. Mm-hmm. On that.
I've heard that a lot.
Hire before you're ready.
Yeah, I've heard that a lot lately. Hire before you're ready, because
then you just are like, I need this. Yes, come help me. And it's not good.
And then they walk into like a mess and you're like, here are 3,000 emails. Please sort them.
Today.
Please and thank you. Yeah, that's crazy. How many people do you have on your team?
So I have like, no, please keep in mind, they're not full time. Everybody's not working. Yeah. I'm not rolling in stacks of cash back here.
Oh, I see stacks. <see stacks.
laughs> Christmas is coming. My daughter's birthday is also next week. Great. I have Cindy Maka is my business manager. So she keeps me sane. And there's just so many different moving parts within the business. And she makes sure all the pieces are being moved at the right time, in the right place, by the right person. Like all the things working. Megan Maydell handles, she's my CMO, my chief marketing officer. So she handles all things like sales funnel, marketing related. If there's an opt-in or an email, she does it. I don't understand. I'll mess up with that. I'll mess it up. And she's really just helped me understand, like map out starting from what are we doing next year? Like, where do we want to be? And what steps do we need to be taking right now to make it happen? And kind of facilitating that whole plan. And then Trina Little handles video editing and YouTube management, which is amazing.
Yes.
And then Abby Herman is, I don't need copy all the time, but she's like my on-call copywriting gal for like when we need email sequences and stuff like that. Like I know I can just kind of tell her what I'm looking for, and she already knows what I would say, my voice, and she's magical. And I think the best part too is they all actually work with each other in their own businesses. So like Cindy is also Megan's business manager.
Oh, nice.
And Trina and Megan work together, so we're just like one big happy family.
That's really cool. What's like the business manager? Not a lot of people have that. What's kind of the difference between the business manager and like a virtual assistant?
So that I thought going into this, I was looking for a virtual assistant, right? Mm-hmm. That's what like I wanted to hire for. That's actually what I hired for, and it didn't work out. But what I realized is I didn't need somebody to do like tasks for me. I needed somebody to manage all the pieces. So for guest blogging, for example, like there's a lot of steps that go into that and a lot of correspondence. So she can handle all of it. And then when I'm ready to publish, it's sitting in Trello for me.
Nice.
Or for clients, there's a lot of steps and guest experts for the academy. Like there's so many different things that need to be, that are constantly moving. And I feel like if there are not eyes on them all the time, I will drop a ball. I will drop it. Mm-hmm. So she helps me like maintain that, manage that, make sure everybody's happy, everybody has what they need, so that I'm not spending my little bit of business hours like updating boards and checking in and did we get that document? Like checking in with everybody and making sure it's all working together. Versus what I thought I needed was an assistant was to help me do all the little tasks. But then I was still going to spend so much time making sure this, like managing the virtual assistant.
Yeah.
And for me, there was less, I could do more tasks, but I didn't want the headache of making sure I was actually getting all the things done. So as much as I love being a business owner, I kind of needed somebody to like, tell me what to do. Be like, we need to get this done today.
Yeah.
We need to get this from so-and-so. Like I needed somebody to like manage me.
Yeah. And I think the cool part about hiring people is it lets you focus more on like what you actually want to do, not all the admin stuff. And I haven't hired anyone yet, but when I've done little one-off projects, I'm like, it's like kind of a teaser to hiring somebody. And I'm like, oh, that was really nice that got done and I didn't have to do it.
But even one-off stuff is amazing. Like Abby is my go-to one-off for that. And I think it's super important to have those people in your wheelhouse when you're working on a big project and you're like, okay, well, I want to get this done. So what parts do I not have to do? And even just that, not even a full team member, that's huge for you and your own sanity and your own business.
Yes, yes. So what are you working on for 2017?
So we are currently making a huge shift in our business, which is really exciting. So I told you that Megan, like, we set all the goals, we work backwards from that. Well, right after we did all that planning, I kind of came back from a trip and was like, by the way, we're changing everything. I just dropped this bomb on her. Sorry, Megan. when I was actually with you in Atlanta and we were at dinner for the Creative Empire podcast meetup, I was in person with so many female entrepreneurs in just a few days, and I kept hearing the same things. And we were talking a lot about the speaking side. Mm-hmm. And I knew that already in 2017, I was going to be shifting a lot and doing more work on helping entrepreneurs start speaking. I knew I was going that route already, but I thought I had really put myself into this box of, well, you're a certified coach, so you work with people in 3, 6, 9 month increments, whatever the case may be. And I don't work well like that. Like, I work well in sprints.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a hard time, like, only telling you a little bit today so I can tell you a little bit more next week. And the same thing when it comes to creating content. I felt like I got to a place in my business where I was constantly just doing things to check them off. Like, I basically just had a list of things I had to make, and I wasn't being infused into the work, and I had no space for creativity. So right now we're shifting gears to more of a workshop model.
Ooh, so nice.
Rather than working with me for like 3 months to learn how to build, to add speaking as a stream of revenue to your business, instead, we're going to do a half day intensive, and I'm going to teach you everything you need to know so you can take action now rather than 3 months from now.
Mm-hmm.
And, rather than feeling like I need to have all of this content, well, yes, I'm still going to create content, but constantly moving people through these things, I'm going to have low cost workshops every single month to teach you like how to craft your business story or how to write a keynote, like things that you can take action on today versus feeling like jump in with me now and in 6 months you can take the stage. I want to really equip women with the tools they need today to take action, because that's kind of how I am. And I feel like my people would be the same.
Is it scary knowing you're making this huge change?
It's horrifying. Because like, it's different. And to be like, you know what, everybody's doing it this way, and I'm going to pivot and do it the other way. And then on top of that, this next year, I'm definitely making a huge shift and doing something I'm not seeing in our industry a whole.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really scary because it means that I'm going to have to challenge what we know as the way to do things. And I know it's going to kind of be a disruptor in our circle, which is a little scary, but at the same time, I think it's what we need. Because I come from a different background than most people in our space, and I did come from the speaking world, when I look at our creative conferences, we have a lot of room to grow, and there's a lot missing on the speaking end, but it's nobody to blame here. We're kind of the blind leading the blind, right? We're looking to create these spaces where we can network and we can grow and we can learn, but the learning isn't happening like it should, because there's a disconnect between the organizer and the speaker and the speaker and the audience. So a big goal for me in 17 is to bridge those gaps and start working with the conference organizers to help them understand like what they can be doing to equip the speakers with the tools that they need, what the speakers can be doing to teach the audience, what the audience can be doing to get the most out of these, so that we don't go to these conferences and spend thousands of dollars and feel like it was just a networking event.
Yeah.
And it really, it hit me hard at Savvy when I spoke at the Savvy Experience, and I did get to work with the speakers beforehand. I did a little workshop for them.
Nice.
And to hear so many people leaving the Savvy Experience talking about, I got so much more value than I expected. And it broke my heart, because I was like, you spent thousands of dollars to be here and you didn't expect to get value? Like, that's a problem.
Yeah, that's a big
problem. I mean, Heather Crabtree did an amazing job. It was an incredible thing. Like, I got so much value from the Savvy Experience. But as attendees, to go into it with the expectation that you weren't going to get value is really sad.
Yeah.
So as disruptive as it might be, I really want to set out to change that this year and help conference organizers really facilitate that vision that they have. And I know they want it to be educational. Mm-hmm. And I think we just don't really know how to make that happen. So I want to help make that happen.
That is awesome. You have big stuff in store for 2017.
Yeah, my poor team.
But it's exciting.
It really is. Like I'm excited.
Yeah. So where can we connect with you online to keep up with all these upcoming workshops and all that new fun stuff?
Well, you can, I'm pretty easy to find. Everything is my name. You can go to jessicarasdell.com or find me at Jessica Rasdell. This month we're doing our first workshop, which obviously you're not going to get to be able to do it live because this is going to come out later, but you can always grab the, it will be evergreen and you can grab it anytime you want. This one is probably going to be the one that's going to help you the most as a business owner. And it's really how to craft your business story in 1 hour. So you can get it done and have no excuses and take action on it. And you can do that at jessicarasdell.com/craftyourstory.
Yay. Oh my gosh. Thank you so much for talking.
You're welcome. Thank you so much for having me.
If you enjoyed this podcast, I'd love for you to subscribe, leave a review, and share it with your friends. You can also watch these interviews on my YouTube channel if that's more your style. I'd love to connect with you on social media at Jess Creatives or on my website, jesscreatives.com.